order.
Reporter brings you a story of strange and uncommon crimes. True mysteries taken from authentic records.
This true murder mystery took place in London, England, in 1861. It is a hot July morning, and we find Mr. Clay, who owns a cork cutting business at 18 Northumberland Street, taking things easy.
Mr. Clay.
Where, Larry? Where's Mr. Wiley's corks?
Oh, I just got such a start, I forgot all about them.
You're not letting those shots up there bother you, are you, Harry?
Oh, I haven't quite got used to them yet, sir.
Oh, you know, that's just Mr. Roberts having his morning target practice.
Yes, sir, that's what I thought, but not this morning it isn't.
What's the matter with you, Harry? What's the matter? What's wrong?
There's a man standing in the window of Mr. Roberts' house, and he's all bloody.
What?
Yes, sir, in the upstairs back window.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, sir, and to me dying day, I'll never forget the sight of him. It's horrible.
Oh, we'll have to look into this. Come on, Eddie. Where is he?
This way, sir. There he is up there. You see him?
Of course I see him. Of course. How could I miss him, you idiot?
Look, he's putting his leg out the window. He's going to jump.
Here, I say up there. Don't jump.
Well, I can't stay up here.
Then go out through the door. What's the matter with the door?
Oh, I can't. It's locked and the key is gone.
Well, what's the matter up there? What are you doing?
It's murder. That's what's the matter. It's
Don't jump. Don't jump from way up there. You'll break your leg.
He's jumped, sir.
I see he is. After him, Eddie. After him.
There he goes over the fence. We'll run around the other way. We may catch him as he comes out of the mews.
Come on.
There he is, sir.
Hold a bit, my man. Hold a bit. Hold on.
Don't you come near me. Don't you dare to come near me.
But you can't commit murder and run off. Not in this neighborhood, you can't.
Nor can you Northumberland Street villains kill me with impunity.
Oh, we're not going to hurt you, sir.
No, not as long as I have my wits about me.
Really, sir, you have nothing to fear from us. We want to help you.
Then hold my umbrella and these fire tongs while I straighten my cravat and brush off my clothes.
But you can't go walking around looking as you do, sir.
I've got to go to my office.
You can't go to your office, sir. You're badly wounded, don't you know?
Really? Have I?
Indeed, you're, sir. You're fearfully wounded.
It's that fellow Gray upstairs there.
There's no one up there named Gray in that house. That man's name is Roberts.
Roberts? But he told me his name was Gray. Well, that villain shall suffer for this. He'll pay for this.
What's the matter with the gentleman,
sir? I don't know.
Perhaps he's dead.
No, he's not. He's still breathing. He must have fainted. We'll have to get him to the hospital as quickly as possible. Come on, Eddie, come on.
At the hospital, it was discovered that the wounded man's name was Major Murray, a respectable businessman, and that he was suffering from numerous bruises and 2 gunshot wounds. We now find Major Murray tucked in his hospital bed with a detective questioning him.
Now, Major Murray, would you mind telling me of your, shall we say, accident?
It was no accident, sir. It was a dastardly and malicious attack.
Just how did this happen?
Well, I was sitting in the Star and Crescent, having a bit of refreshment, when that person came over and introduced himself as Gray.
You mean Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Now, he's told us that he's never seen you until you came into his office.
Well, that's not true, sir. He made himself known to me at the tavern and asked if I were Major Murray, a director of the Railway Palace Hotel. He said that it had come to his ears that the hotel was in a serious financial trouble and offered to loan me £50,000 at a very favorable rate of interest.
And you, a perfect stranger?
I give you my word, sir. I've never seen the man before.
And yet this man whom you met in a public house offered to lend you £50,000? Ah, the whole thing sounds ridiculous.
It does now. It does now, sir. But it didn't then.
So then you went to this gentleman's house?
He's no gentleman. He's a bounder.
Well, then, this person's house. What happened after you got there? Do you think you can remember?
Every detail. After we got to Roberts' house, and while I was sitting behind the table writing an agreement, this scoundrel Roberts stepped behind me and shot me in the neck.
Yes, but Mr. Roberts says that you shot yourself.
Well, that's not true, sir.
Well, that remains to be proven, but go on with your story.
Well, the shot threw me to the floor. He then stood over me and shot me in the temple. I believe the second shot saved my life. It seemed to clear my head.
And then you attacked Mr. Roberts with the fire tongs, exclaiming, "I'm lost, and you're the cause of my misfortunes."
I did attack him, yes, I did, sir. But it was in self-defense, and I certainly had no time to make such an asinine remark as that.
But you do admit belaboring Mr. Roberts with the fire tongs and a large black bottle?
Oh, yes. But only after he had shot me twice.
Oh, it's a most remarkable story, Major Murray. But why did you try to run away?
Well, I thought the men who chased me were Robert's accomplices.
But the people who chased you thought you were the attacker.
Evidently. And now that you've heard it all, sir, what do you think of this outrage?
Oh, after listening to your story and that of Mr. Roberts, yours sounds like a pack of nonsense.
You mean you don't believe me, sir?
Most emphatically not. And it's fortunate for you that you didn't succeed in killing him. Come in. What is it, Goodhart?
I was sent to tell you, sir, that Mr. Roberts has just died.
Thank you, Goodhart. You can go now.
Yes, sir.
So the beggar's dead, eh? Good.
I wouldn't be so elated over it if I were you, Major Murray.
And why not?
It places you in a very serious predicament.
My predicament is serious enough as it is, sir. It will be weeks before I'm well enough to leave this infernal hospital.
And when you do leave, it will be to enter a more secure place of confinement.
What are you saying, sir?
Major Murray, it becomes my painful duty to formally charge you with the murder of George Roberts.
Things look very black for Major Murray. Charged with murder, backed by a convincing accusation left by the dead man, his position was a desperate one. Motive, however, was lacking. But on going over Mr. Roberts' house, the detective found an envelope addressed to Mrs. Murray, M. Lodge, Tottenham. Here was the connection. So he rushed to the address on the envelope. He arrived just as a woman was leaving the house.
Pardon me. Are you Mrs. Murray?
Yes, sir.
I'm from the Metropolitan Police. I'd like to talk to you.
What is it? Has something happened?
Do you know Major Murray?
Certainly. He's my husband.
And do you know a Mr. Roberts of 16 Northumberland Street?
You mean the moneylender? Yes, I've met him.
The same. Well, your husband has just killed him over you.
Well, that's impossible. My husband didn't know Mr. Roberts.
Oh, come now. That won't do. Mr. Roberts is dead, and your husband is in custody for the murder.
Oh, what made him do such a terrible thing?
He found out about you and Mr. Roberts.
You mean he killed him because I borrowed £15 from him?
Is borrowing £15 the extent of your dealings with the dead man?
Yes.
Why did you borrow the money?
I needed things for the baby.
Couldn't your husband give you the money?
He did, but I spent it. We don't live together because of his people, and he only comes to see me once or twice a week.
Well, after the money was gone, you were afraid to tell your husband what you'd done with it, so you got £15 from the moneylender Roberts.
How did you know?
Oh, that's how those things generally happen. Has Roberts been pressing you for the money?
Oh, no. In fact, he told me to take my time about paying him back.
And you have paid him?
Just the interest.
What sort of a man did you find, Roberts?
Well, he wasn't a very nice person.
Well, why do you say that?
Oh, he was always trying to make love to me. Wanted me to run off to Scotland with him.
And so you told your husband and he went to Roberts and killed him?
No, sir. I didn't tell him. I was afraid to. He'd have been very angry.
Angry enough to kill Mr. Roberts?
No. Angry with me for borrowing the money.
If your husband found out Roberts had been making advances toward you, don't you think he'd kill Roberts?
But I told you my husband didn't know Mr. Roberts.
Do you think Mr. Roberts knew your husband?
Yes, sir, but just by sight. He made it his business to find out all about Major Murray.
Why?
He said he was going to do away with him.
You mean murder him?
Yes. Oh, he made me very nervous for my husband. He said he practiced pistol shooting daily, and when the proper time came, he was going to kill him.
Mr. Roberts said that?
Yes, sir.
But for what reason?
He said Major Murray stood between him and me.
Madam, I thought seeing you would simplify the matter. But on the contrary, it's even made it more complex. Oh, now I don't know whether I'm on my head or my heels.
The poor detective had a most confusing situation to face. According to the major, Roberts had attacked him and been killed for his trouble. A discouraged figure is sitting in an office. It is the detective.
Come in. Now, what do you want?
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir, but they told me you had charge of the Murray Roberts case.
Hmm? Yes, I have. Do you know anything that might help me?
I'm quite sure I do.
Well, then you're the most welcome of visitors. What is it you know?
It's been a custom of mine for years to occasionally eat a bite at the Star and Crescent, you know.
Do you know Major Murray?
Oh, only by sight, but I'm well acquainted with Mr. Roberts.
Go on, go on.
On the day of the tragedy, I was eating luncheon with Mr. Roberts when, much to my surprise, he left the table, walked over to where Major Murray was eating, and introduced himself as Mr. Gray.
Could you hear any of the conversation that passed between them?
Oh, quite distinctly, quite. And it struck me as very odd, you know. He was very casual, you know, and casually offered to loan Major Murray £50,000 after he'd been ragging me for over an hour about a measly £100 I owed him.
And you don't think that Major Murray had ever met Roberts before?
Oh, no, no, I'm sure he hadn't. I came here hoping this bit of news might be helpful, you know.
Helpful? It's overwhelming. This bit of news, as you call it, has solved the Murray-Roberts case.
And it had. Strange as it seemed, every word of the major's story was proven true. Two doctors swore it would be impossible for a man to shoot himself as the major had been shot. As might be expected, the major was acquitted.
And so our police reporter bids you goodbye until he comes on the air again. Listen for more of his true stories. This is a radio release production.